The chief priests and scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us, by what authority do you do these things?" Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus was teaching in the temple during Holy Week, the people were listening attentively. The chief priests, scribes with the elders were also listening closely, but with evil intent. Their theological fact checkers were trying to catch Jesus in an error to further their goal, which was simply to destroy him. The temple was the place of God's merciful presence. That's what it was about, his merciful presence, where he forgave the sins of those who called upon his holy name. But it was also a very violent place. It was a violent slaughterhouse if you happened to be a lamb. And the irony is that the Lord God who was in the temple on this day was none other than the Lamb, the Word made flesh, who John the Baptist identified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Dealing with sin is violent. It's a violent matter on many levels. The chief priests, scribes, and elders were intent on slaughtering this lamb, and they would succeed within 3 days. The atmosphere in the temple on this day during Holy Week between Palm Sunday and Good Friday was thick. It was like a cloud, a fog had set over the whole temple, a fog of evil and violent intrigue. Luke 20 is about violence. It's also about power and authority. Ekousia can be translated either power or authority. Context dictates, and in this text, on this day, the context is authority. Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? Authority and power go together, and Jesus has both. And he demonstrated this when he healed the paralytic and forgave his sins. He said that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." The question put to Jesus while he was teaching in the temple was, "Who gave you authority to do these things?" These things. They include teaching and preaching the gospel. This is rite vocatu stuff. As the Augsburg Confession says, no one should publicly teach or preach or administer the sacraments in the church without a regular call. The chief priests, scribes, and elders were within their rights asking Jesus the source of his authority to teach in the temple. That was their job. They were the teachers of the church. The tragedy was that they disqualified themselves because they did so in unbelief, in theological ignorance, in hypocrisy, and with evil and murderous intent. I guess I could find more adjectives too, but that's pretty bad. So instead of answering their question, Jesus asked them a question. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? The chief priests, scribes, and elders feared the people who believed that Jesus was a true prophet. So if they didn't agree with that, they were rejecting a prophet of God and could be stoned. In short, the teachers of the church refused to join the people at the Jordan in repentance and baptism, and they were not willing to die for their convictions, even as they were willing to or plotting to kill Jesus for his. So Jesus told them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This was not some debating technique, because even while Jesus refused to reveal his source of authority, he actually did reveal it. It was laid right out there for those to see who could see, both them and us. He pointed to Jesus' baptism It was at his baptism in the Jordan River that John, by John, that Jesus was ordained into the holy ministry, chosen as a suffering servant, and sent for the salvation of all people. When Jesus was baptized, Luke clarifies it for us, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Jesus was ordained, placed into office, anointed by the Spirit, and authorized by the Father to do his life-giving messianic things that would save the world. This event at the Jordan River included one of the most explicit manifestations of the Holy Trinity ever to take place on earth. And then Jesus sums everything up at the end in his last words. During his farewell address to his apostles on Good Friday, he concludes it with a prayer, his high priestly prayer. "Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all who you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And then, after the amen, he goes out and gets arrested. The Son did not send himself to be the Savior of the world. He did not authorize himself to teach and to sacrifice himself on the cross. He who brings salvation into the world is a gift himself, a gift from the Father. And the same is true of pastors and teachers in the church today, and the same will be true about future pastors, like many of you seminarians who are studying here. One day, the ascended Lord, who gives gifts to his church, will give you to his church. I know it's hard to believe, but the day is coming when your coursework and papers and tests will culminate in the great theological interview. And then you will graduate in here and with pomp and circumstance, and you'll get a nice little diploma. You can hang it on your wall. It'll be a great day. It always is. It's an important day. But it's not the big day. The big day, the big authorization, will come when you are ordained into the office of the holy ministry. Jesus was asked, "Tell us by what authority you do these things." These things included teaching in the church, in the temple, preaching the gospel, and then the institution of the Lord's Supper and the great sacrifice on the cross. And the day is coming when you, many of you, will receive your divine call and holy ordination, and you will be sent to some place, I don't know where, but you will be sent to some place where you will preach and consecrate and distribute the body and blood of Jesus. And like Jesus at that home with the paralytic, you will forgive sins. What will you say if someone says to you, "By what authority? Who do you think you are, young lad? Who are you to forgive sins? Preach the gospel of salvation by grace alone, and to give out bread and wine, say, this is the body and blood of the Lord." What will you answer? Well, stay calm and just say, "You're right. Who am I?" And then you can humbly but confidently answer them with the words given you, the words in the rite of holy absolution, as a called and ordained servant of Christ. "And by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." As I've heard it put before, just say, I just work here. I do what my boss tells me. I do what Jesus tells me to do. The holy ministry is about power and authority. but not the kind of power and authority exercised in the world, but the power of the preached gospel. It is about humble servants of Christ simply doing what they have been given and authorized to do by the one who is divine authority incarnate. And so the day is coming when you will stand before an altar for the first time as an ordained pastor. And you will hear something you always hear, the Sanctus will be sung. But there'll be something different about the Sanctus on that day. It's not just the great Holy Communion hymn, but it'll be different because it not only echoes Isaiah's ordination and Jesus' physical entrance into Jerusalem and the temple, but it'll also bring to mind your ordination when you were authorized from that same heavenly place, council, to be a steward of the mysteries. And you will be all have been authorized to speak his powerful words of consecration, and then with your humble hands give out the very body and blood of Christ to our Lord's people. Doing these things is really quite amazing. In the name of Jesus.